Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Greetings, people loved by God. Welcome to this, the fifth Sunday of Easter, and welcome to worship today. And a very special greeting to our mothers on this Mother's Day. We pray that you have a wonderful day as we celebrate and we give thanks to God for mothers. Reminder to check out our website, chapelofthecross.org. There you will find information about online Bible classes and online Sunday school for children. We invite you to be involved in those Bible study opportunities and also share those opportunities with friends and family if you could. You'll also find our bulletin for this service on that website. Download it from the resources tab on the homepage. And you may give your offering to the Lord at chapelofthecross.org. You can click the Give tab there on the homepage of the website and follow the instructions that are posted there. Or you may just send in your offering to the church office. For our worship today, I will be leading the liturgy and preaching the sermon. Vicar Jim Marriott will be our lector. Ryan Meyer and the Schmidt family, John, Jen, Megan, and Allison, will be leading the music. The choral singers have recorded an anthem that we will hear today as well. May God bless our worship today as we begin with singing our opening hymn, Praise the Almighty. It's hymn number 797 in Lutheran Service Book.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. As God's people, we make confession, seeking His mercy. Merciful God, we confess to you that we are by nature sinful, living in darkness. We have gone our own way, listened to lies instead of the truth, and sought to live life on our own terms. Forgive us our many sins of thought, word, and action, for the sake of Jesus. Amen. God has called you out of the darkness of sin into His wonderful light. He has shown you the way, spoken the truth, and given you new life in Jesus. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks be to God. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, is the way, the truth, and the life. Help us to be faithful to Him to death and to receive life eternal. He lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from Acts. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and of wisdom. We'll turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and to the ministry of the Word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia. These men began to argue with Stephen. To this he replied, "Brothers and fathers, listen to me. You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you're just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one, and now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was put into effect through angels, but have not obeyed it." When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We speak responsively, Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the way of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. A reading from 1 Peter. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The souls were called, so all
The Holy Gospel, according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it's the Father in me, living in me, who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Thank you.
Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to wish you all a very happy Mother's Day. Today, we do give thanks to our God for mothers and for those who have a mother's heart. Today, we rejoice and we give thanks for those who have given us life. I always say that every one of us has or had a mother, so we can all celebrate this day. So, very happy Mother's Day to you. I understand that this Mother's Day is very, very different from any other Mother's Day we've ever had. Many will not be able to see Mom, face to face at least, because of this pandemic. And I know that a special part of Mother's Day for many mothers and for their families is to come to church together and to worship their God as a family. I wish I could see you all here in this building today on this Mother's Day. But I am glad that we can at least be together for online worship. Yes, thanking our Lord for mothers, but more importantly, thanking God for his good gifts we received in the resurrected Christ. One of the ways that I kind of get ready for Mother's Day at my house is by working in our lawn a little bit, mowing and trimming and edging to make things look kind of good outside. But there is something I've been noticing in my lawn over the last couple of summers. Rocks. Lots of rocks. I've brought a few of them today. They kind of look like this. Hope you can see that. Kind of ping pong size. They come in smaller sizes too, and even smaller, but they come in larger sizes. I've brought 3. I could have brought 100. I could have brought 1,000. That's how many rocks are in my lawn right now. And they're driving me nuts. Someone told me that the reason I have all these rocks showing up in my lawn is that years ago when somebody did some repairs on the septic field, all those extra rocks that they use for the drain field, they decided to just spread them out over the lawn, pour some dirt on top, throw some grass seed, and call it a day. And I'm sure they thought, well, that was a great solution to this problem. They didn't have to haul them away. They'll just bury the rocks. However, over time, the dirt has washed away, and hundreds, if not thousands, of rocks are showing up to the surface. Needless to say, I'm not all that happy with those septic service people. I used to actually collect rocks. When I was a kid, our family would go on a trip or on a vacation. If I found an interesting rock or stone somewhere, I'd pick it up and I'd bring it home. And I eventually got a lot of rocks. And we put them in some boxes, labeled them rocks, and they found their way to the basement. I kind of forgot about them down there until one day we're doing a little spring cleaning, and here they are, just boxes with dusty rocks and stones inside. And I decided just to throw them out. I mean, they weren't doing any good. I couldn't use them for anything. They're all dusty and they're dirty. They're just lifeless stones. They were just sitting there in the basement, taking up space. As you can tell, I don't have the highest regard for stones and for rocks. But then I open up the Bible and read the epistle reading appointed for this day from 1 Peter chapter 2, and it talks about, of all things, rocks, stones. In fact, a certain kind of stone, not just any stone, living stones. Listen again to that text starting at verse 4, just a little part of that. As you come to him, the living stone, that's talking about Jesus, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, and now he's talking about you, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, isn't that strange that the Bible should say that Jesus is a stone, a living stone, and that you, as you are connected to Jesus, become a living stone as well. Well, maybe that shouldn't surprise us. I mean, after all, it was Peter who wrote this little passage of the Bible. You might remember that Peter's given name was Simon, but when he met Jesus, when he was called by Jesus, Jesus changed his name, changed it to Peter. And that's a name that comes from the word Petros, which means rock. And so Peter, Mr. Rock himself, Rocky, decides to take this image, this metaphor, and really use it to talk about our connection with Jesus Christ. Now, as strange an image as that is, it's really nothing new. It's not new to Peter. In fact, you see it all over the place in Scripture. In this passage, even, Peter quotes the prophet Isaiah. He says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Psalm 18 says this. It says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge." David writes in Psalm 31, he says, "Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead me and guide me, for you are my refuge." Scripture loves that metaphor. God is our rock. He is our living stone. And Peter says, "I am not the only rock around here. I'm not the only stone. You also are a rock, a stone. As you follow Christ, you are stones too." So how do you like being called a stone? How does that work for you? Because that's what you are called here. But you're not just any stone. You are a living stone. That's what God calls us through his word. And I guess for us to understand that, we need to realize that when the Bible says that we are living stones, it means that Jesus Christ is our life. Jesus Christ is the one who makes us live. We're alive because of Jesus. Apart from him, we are just lifeless stones. So there are a lot of people out there who don't know Jesus, and they are as dead as a rock you pick up on the side of the road, as dead as a rock you'd find in my lawn. They are lifeless without Jesus Christ, and they do not know what to live for. They look for it, search for it, for sure. And maybe you've done that too, searching for something that will give our life meaning, searching for something that will make our life come alive. What's going to give our life meaning? Well, I think there's a lot of different answers to that, maybe for a lot of different people. Some make it their job, and their job, it just consumes them. It takes their life over. They give their life to their job. For some, it's their family. Family is first. There's nothing more important than family. For others, it's just a race for success or getting more and more and more. But all of that, we learn, can be here today and gone tomorrow. There are people watching or listening today who are alone. And they're alone because the one that they've loved the most has gone to heaven. And I think that we, you know, usually live our lives as if those great gifts of God, of family, loved ones, they will be around always, only to be suddenly surprised that that one, that spouse, that child, that parent is gone. And we so often live our lives thinking everything is always going to be there. Our family, our loved ones, our job, our home, our health. But in reality, it's not like that. It's not like that at all. Life is so fragile, really. And it's also transient here. in this world. So what lasts beyond the temporary? And what really gives life meaning? And the answer is only Jesus. You don't live, Peter says. You're like a dead rock until Jesus Christ gives you life, until Jesus gives you meaning, until Jesus gives you purpose. Jesus Christ gives us faith that this earthly life is just temporary, but we wait for an even greater life, a life made perfect through the redemption of Jesus, a life lived with the Savior on the other side of the grave. There's one more aspect of this image that Peter gives us here. He kind of takes us to another level of life with Christ. Verse 5, Peter says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house." You know, we are not meant to live alone. I think if there's something we've learned over the last number of weeks through this social distancing and quarantining, it's that. We are not meant to live alone. Not only do we get our life from Christ, but Christ makes us a rock, not just sitting there on our own, but a rock being placed with other rocks, living stones being put together with other living stones to be built into a spiritual home. That's what we are. We are the church. And I'm not talking about this place, this building. I'm not talking about the bricks and mortar and the stained glass windows and the pews here. I'm talking about you and me. We are God's building of living stones, His spiritual house. You are a living stone put together with other living stones, and we encourage one another, and we strengthen one another, and we are present with one another. We witness with one another. We are not alone. No Christian is meant to be alone in life. And Peter says, as a follower of Christ, you are not alone. You are being built into a spiritual house with other living stones. We need others. You know, God puts us together with other Christians, so we're not alone. And I think some of us need to learn that lesson, because we try to get by on our own with no help, with no support, with no encouragement from our brothers and sisters in Christ. But we need each other. We in the church should never be alone. You know, I've heard it over and over again the last number of months. We are all in this together. I've heard that, I'm sure. And that's very true. It's true for working against this virus for sure. But it is also true as brothers and sisters in Christ, as fellow members of the Church of Christ, as living stones being built together by Christ with other living stones, making His spiritual house, making His church. We are all in this together. We're all a bunch of rocks. So we are a bunch of rocks, but not useless rocks you throw away in the basement somewhere. We're not dead rocks. Christ has made us alive. We are living stones by His death and resurrection. We are, Peter says, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, so that we may declare the praises of Him who calls us out of darkness into His wonderful light. We are living stones who are living and active. We are living stones who live for Christ and who live for one another. We are living stones who serve Christ and serve one another. We are living stones who are built together with one another into a spiritual house, living our lives for Him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue our worship by confessing our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We confess together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious God, we give you all praise and honor. How merciful you are to call us your own people, to rescue us from darkness, to declare us holy, and to grant to us the privilege of being your holy royal priests, serving you in joy and gladness as we serve others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You sent Jesus to be for us the way, O Lord. May we follow in the way of Jesus throughout our lives, entering by the narrow door, never straying from your good path, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You sent Jesus to be for us the truth, O God. May we see him as the ultimate truth, not just one truth among many. May we find in him faithful answers to life's questions. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You sent Jesus to be the life, O God. May we find in him true life, life that is abundant, life that is free, and life that is eternal. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, grant your blessing to Eric and Linda Funke and their family as they move from St. Louis to their new home in Dallas, Texas this week. Protect them as they travel. Strengthen and encourage them as they begin this new chapter in their lives. And preserve them in the confession of your name and in their continued loving service to others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, for those who grieve, we plead for the comfort of Jesus' words, do not let your hearts be troubled. In my Father's house are many rooms. I am going there to prepare a place for you. Especially for Kathy Allen upon the death of her sister Virginia Bowles last week Sunday, we ask that you give your strength, your comfort, and a peace from you that passes all understanding. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, for those who suffer, the ill, the hospitalized, the homebound, and those in pain. We pray for the peace of Jesus' words, trust in God, trust also in me. We especially remember this day, Renee Gibson, Kayla Rainey, Thualfakar Ramaha, Gregory Pellegrino, Stephanie Wallum, and Laverne Zurhide. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, you taught us to love our neighbor and to care for those in need as if we were caring for you. In this time of anxiety, give us strength to comfort the fearful, to tend the sick, and to assure the isolated of our love and your love. We also entrust to your tender care all who are ill or in pain due to the coronavirus. Comfort them with the faith that whenever danger threatens, your everlasting arms are there to hold them. Heal them, Lord, and restore them to health and strength. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Great God, on this day we praise you along with those who are celebrating special milestones of your grace in their lives, especially Don and Sue Sistick as they celebrate their 42nd wedding anniversary. Continue to give your blessings to them and guard and guide them as they live their lives for you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, on this Mother's Day, we do pray for and give thanks for mothers. May they be strengthened in their vocation of self-giving love. And for those mothers who grieve the loss of children, and for parents who have been unable to bear children, we pray that they may be comforted in their sorrow and longing. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us your tender mercies through the blessing of mothers. May every mother's home be a place of your love and your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. We sing together our closing hymn, Stand Up for Jesus, hymn number 660 in Lutheran Service Book. Thank you.